Comprehensive Facilities meeting. Quick roll call. Gallagher?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
Callahan here as well. Superintendent Jagir.
Hello.
Paul Morano, Mike D'Angelo, Bob Dutch.
Kevin Hart.
All right, and so anything new?
Has it been 20 hours?
It's been, we've just seen each other, so. So just to recap for this committee, just to make sure we're on the same page, look around the room. So many of you were there last night. We presented a comprehensive facilities plan recommendation to the school committee with a scheduled vote on the recommendation for May 14th. The plan included, I was really pleased to have KBA, our educational architect, Kate Jessup, join us. And we had Fran Locker, the educational planner, master planner, to join us on their facilitation, which if you've paid attention to these meetings, they've presented at this particular group and also at the larger committee in the past. We received really good questions from the school committee, from the public, around some of the details of the plan. And I thought I would just take a moment to walk through with everybody here, just where we're at with our next steps, and then we can get into the details of any other questions that you have. So our Mrs. Morano took really good notes last night.
Six
pages of notes, which is great. And I actually think some of the notes and questions in there. We're developing an FAQ, updating our website, which we put at it's the last slide. And forgive me, I have to set two computers up when we have a meeting. On the last slide, we put some information that I think you'll want to discuss as part of this meeting as well. But basically, we have an FAQ we're generating in an effort to try to provide as much detail as possible where appropriate. I'll say, for example, what is the timeline of some of the steps and actions we have to take around identifying leadership, structures, things like that is one thing. I think some of the other questions, I said this last night, but in full transparency, like bus routes, how the PCCs will operate, are like, I would consider those secondary or tertiary tasks as it relates to the idea of this plan. The plan is really set to determine leadership structures, student distributions at each of the complex or the schools as we discuss them. And then ultimately from there, the staff follow the students. We need to work closely with our union, looking at contractually how transfers will work to have teachers land, the educators land in different buildings. And I think that's where we'll focus our energy, obviously, from now and through the summer. There are other components as well that we'll want to focus on, which include everything from once we identify those leadership structures, identifying the logistical pieces that folks were wondering about. Start times. What will we have to do around, is it staggered, is it the same traffic? These are all part of a larger plan. We had a meeting this morning just on one of our schools with our DPW and our town engineer on a separate project related to ECDC. But ultimately, as part of the larger opportunity on the plan, we plan to continue to work with those folks. Another question that came up that I thought I could just reference today was around we need to make some decisions around, we're trying to identify how many students are actually left from the Davis Dayer closure.
Yeah,
that came up a few times. Mm-hmm. So we're identifying the number of students who are remaining as part of that class. Al, did you have a comment?
Yeah, no, I think once we see like what the buffer, like the breakout is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we talked about a buffer zone before, but maybe that's something we revisit so that, you know, if you're in the zone, it's school choice. I mean, I think it's easier where there's two different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and that I know we talked about last time, the caveat of if you choose, you're kind of foregoing busing and whatnot. So
right.
It's easier than what it was last time, where it could have been five different schools still, you know? So,
right.
So I think that's something to be on the table to talk through, just so that if people say, I'm on the line.
Mm-hmm. Right. We thought about discussing the opportunity or a recommendation regarding, and I think once we know, I think someone referenced 30 kids in the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're at such a small number.
Yeah.
I think we could be considerate of that, and also if that helps us move past that particular kind of landmine and we can move forward in a way that's productive,
mm-hmm.
I think that just benefits us all. So we're certainly open to that, and I'm glad to hear that you all, from a policy perspective around student assignment, we already have policy that would support that type of decision. And, yeah, so those were...
I mean, you've got to, by the end of the school year, you've got to move, like, three classes already on to middle school.
Yeah, well, so at this point, if the plan kind of moves forward as outlined, it'll just be just the fifth grade class. So it'll be kiddos who are, I think, hybrid as a kindergartner. They kind of went through that transition period. Mm-hmm. So now they're in 2025, they would be fifth graders. And so it is probably just going to, you know, like likely about maybe two classrooms. So it's going to be a small subset. And like you said, yeah, just you know, only two schools you're looking at, mm-hmm. plus only 180 days as well, as opposed to, I know before it was, how long do you extend this? It's like, it's this fifth grade classroom, you know, Mr. Gustafson's, you know, 30 third graders that we're mm-hmm. kind of talking about. So I think that I'm glad you guys brought it up. I'm glad this is kind of...
Yeah, I think those 30 third graders, though, have siblings likely in younger classes that I think, you know, families are going to likely be preferring to keep their kids together if they're driving some kids yeah. to Keller and busing yes. others yeah. to Jefferson. Like, you yeah. know, so just to keep in mind that...
Yeah, yeah, it's not an easy
there's
one.
There's going to be some... Yeah.
Yeah, but at least that we are aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think the one we talked about the last time, it was the household, not the student
right.
per se. Mm-hmm. So if we had one kid or six kids,
yeah,
they all go to the same
right. yeah. Yeah.
area.
So.
And if you look at where Jefferson kids would have been,
DT?
I mean, DT, and Keller kids, it's really, they're down. They're up there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think. It might not be the whole 30 either. Right. It might only
yeah.
be half of, depending
well,
on where they live.
Yeah, but I think just from an equity standpoint, it should be the area, because it's not necessarily specific families. Because I would see in that buffer zone, if we're using like what we did last time, right? We had a mix of Keller and DT in that area that split. Mm-hmm. So I would find it hard to say to somebody that's in Keller that if it's your last year, you have to move, whereas the person that's
right.
the next component. So I think we have to look at it in more detail.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have to figure out the domino effect, because
yeah.
I would also argue the household idea now mm-hmm. lands differently than, I just think we have to talk about
yeah.
it. Because
yeah.
I would say
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the students who were, like, if we're talking about a 1 year and then they move from their siblings anyway,
mm-hmm.
I would hate to be, I just don't want to, put my superintendent hat
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
It creates a ripple effect.
Yeah.
I think it can, but I do think anyone who's physically been displaced is one, that what I heard
mm-hmm.
that was the most concerned, but I do think these are all valid, and
yeah.
I think we can present some options that lay it out, and I think we have to do the math
yeah.
first. But,
and I think
yeah.
that's it, just being cognizant
yeah.
as we move forward is perfect.
Yeah.
For at this stage.
Because mm-hmm. then it would just continue to,
yeah,
at
yeah,
some
yeah.
point you have to figure out
right.
if you physically were displaced, like start there as the priority,
yeah.
And then if you want to stay for 1 year, because ultimately if now bring a whole family, you have to consider they're staying for trips, they can transportation all these pieces.
Yeah, and
they'd be staying in that school that we didn't expect that they would, but then their sibling anyway, the one who actually was moved,
mm-hmm.
will be gone in middle
school. Is
mm-hmm.
gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a way we have to look at
yeah.
the numbers. It really
right.
comes down to once that
right.
that line is truly defined and
yep.
what are the families
mm-hmm.
and
what their
yep.
choices.
But
yeah, exactly.
Those are the logistics post
makes
if
sense.
It gets approved.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So did I hear correctly last night that like several different kind of like line options or shifts we're going to be.
Kate's talk about like
yeah.
the fuzzy, the rigid line or
yeah,
about
yeah,
coming
yeah,
into
yeah.
focus.
Like, kind of presented or?
Kate mentioned we did a lot of work last year on some of the lines, right? I think we now, with a new model and a new plan, need to revisit that
right.
for school assignment. But
yeah.
the goal is to try to create a natural distribution of
right.
students that are north and south. I think we also need to look at traffic
yeah.
and look at if it like to pick up 15 kids, but they're on the other side of a
right.
logistical highway. These
yeah.
are all the.
Yeah.
So last year, FGO did a ton of work on looking at neighborhoods, buses, so but then we pick up. It makes sense to pick up at one location and maybe
right.
they pick up a street.
Mm-hmm.
So the line isn't just like a straight crow's flight,
right.
obviously.
Yeah.
But the idea is, and when she mentioned buffer zones, she was talking about some districts have done buffer zones where it's in the district's best interest to say, hey, we're getting a little bit overpopulated in the north side of town right now. We reserve the right to assign these students to a different school to keep balance as needed, as long as there's a bus stop, because the divide is has to pick up from both angles. So that's just a concept. It's not something that everyone does. I think it creates a bit of this model. It creates a little more equity across the board for schools, in my opinion, for distribution of students. But I think it's worth exploring further as part of the redistricting effort.
Okay.
Good question. So we'll make a note of that. Okay. And the communication strategy, we have our website. Just seeing if Mrs. Miller was able to update some of this today. Yep, she put the email in right at the top of the website on this page. We're planning to send a communication out to families. Mm-hmm. And just, here's the link to the website. It includes information that we'll continue to update. Mm-hmm. You can also email us questions from there. It has all the presentations, including last night's, has been updated in there. And then it also just has some historical information on like the forums we held and some of the other documents that we've included. So we will email directly to our parents, community, the website and that information. It will also include, we're working on an FAQ to try to, and we'll build that out and picture that as more of a kind of a dynamic.
Yeah.
We keep adding as we continue to have information. And I have here the school committee listening session. Mm-hmm. We have one scheduled. I think if it's going to be posted as a meeting, because you have more, three or more, we would have to post it. If you intend it to be two, we don't have to post. You could hold it. So I would be curious to know what. I would want to know what direction we need to know, because if just 48 hours in advance of Saturday, I need to either post, or if it's not an issue, I will
post it as a workshop.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're all able to go and engage.
Yeah. So that's new. So I guess can you speak to the expectations on that one?
It was just an informal, and I didn't want to start to text any of us or communicate, and because then all of a sudden it just takes two for quorum. So I just wanted to kind of go over to the high school and just answer questions, kind of listen, similar to what I did informally back during the redistricting. But I did want to see about having one posted now that we're kind of here in open meeting, where we can kind of talk, see if there's ones that coordinate with our schedule, because I figure it would be more helpful if we have two or more from this subcommittee to be able to answer questions. So,
I could just double check my calendar for availability.
I can probably come to the first hour, but then Sloan has a dance recital.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah. I need to finish her gift.
So we'll post it then as a public meeting, so that way anybody can kind of come on down.
Yeah.
And then what we can kind of do is just kind of coordinate one with members of the subcommittee, because I figure, you know, we can definitely do a second one, and then just depending on the timing and kind of how it all goes, if we need to have any more.
So like a second one, like the next Saturday?
I know we got an email that said that, like sometimes like during the weekends, it's difficult just with sports and events.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so we could even try to do one like during the weekday. I'm looking at maybe like Tuesday, the non-school committee meeting day.
So that's May.
May 7th.
Yeah, during the day.
No.
Okay.
Evening.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right, no, during the day I'm out too. And I think, I mean, most, it's May. Elementary school age parents that are.
So what time at night would you want to do?
May 7th works with everybody, what do you think? Like something like a 6 o'clock, 6, 7 o'clock thing?
I feel like the, one of the forums was posted for 6, and that was, I think, 7.
7 o'clock?
Yeah. Yeah, forums are 6. Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday the 7th, I could do.
Okay.
So that's two listening sessions, which is good. I would like, if you receive feedback from either, or if there are questions that aren't in the FAQ or whatnot, it'd be great if we know them. I don't know what the expectation is on. Is this a is this meant to be an opportunity with the school committee? Or?
Yeah, certainly just school committee. I don't think anyone's central office, you know, kind of needs to be present. I think, I know Camille and I kind of found a lot of value in ourselves. It was both to kind of listen to community input, see where the community was kind of at, provide them just enough, you know, more opportunity to listen and be heard, and then just kind of continue to make, you know, better informed decisions for, you know, other individuals too. If they, so, you know, if anything kind of changes or if something else kind of comes up that we need to kind of be made aware of. So, but I don't think that any essential office staff. Okay.
We could, what I would suggest maybe is just thinking about how other plans like this came, we could maybe blow up some visuals and maybe focus the conversations around maybe specific questions people are informing. Because I see it as an opportunity to inform, not only take comments, but also provide information, if that's helpful. So I would just wonder about us preparing maybe some of those conceptual drawings that KBA had put in the presentation, just to ground the reason you're there. I would recommend having some of that out, and then maybe just to, because if you get a question or someone's pointing or whatnot, it would be helpful to kind of know what the questions are out there.
Okay.
Yep. And speaking of visuals, if you don't mind, I know we talked about like declining enrollment, and we have that that grid from KBA, from McKibbins. And for me, it wasn't helpful, so I took it and made it a visual. So I sent it all to all of you as well.
Did. Yeah. Sorry, my email is
bad. Yeah, no, it's all good. And I think it helps tell the story a little bit better, because we hear the narrative around declining enrollment, which is true in holistically, but that's not true for each grade. So like what I did is in this visual, it has the columns for the total enrollment, and you can see it drop down, it plateaus, and it starts to go up. But then I also plotted out the pre-K to 5th, 6 to 8, and 9 to 12, including the special programs, and you can see their lines over as well. And the, you know, 9 to 12 in special programs, yes, that drops down just like the overall, but when you look at the middle school, it kind of stays relatively flat, but then the contrary, though, is when you look at the PK to 5, it's slightly trending upwards. So I think this may help people understand, okay, why we need the spaces in the PK to 5 grade, because that is where we're seeing the growth now, and post 2034, that growth that we're seeing in that level is going to see it in that middle, but then ultimately in the high school in those next 5-10 years. So I found it for me helpful, because I think people hear declining enrollment and they think everything is going down, but that's not the truth. It's, we have a subset that's going down, but we have a subset that's also increasing, but they're at disproportional rates, so that's why it's not flat, it's going down. So,
that's great. I think so.
I was thinking this would be something also we do for Strawberry Stroll, is like handouts and whatnot. Since you mentioned visuals, I think this would be helpful for whatever is done.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I think it does illustrate what you're saying. And then what's interesting is, and this came up during the staff forums we talked about, if you think about it, 2052 in 2025, 2156 in 2034. Mm-hmm. So 100 student difference, and according to the Dr. Locker, that's not. It's almost in this. It's more towards the stabilize versus the grow. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like it stabilizes versus grows, and
it's
I actually think it's a large enough number to
that's what you said. Staffing.
So I think it aligns with the whole the concept and strategy.
The concept allows absorption better. in a model like this as well, as we see. And also the numbers here, obviously, the 60 new houses being built. Mm-hmm. The numbers themselves, just I only mention that the trend doesn't change. Mm-hmm. It's just if you take away if 60 houses aren't being built every year, the total number could change. But it's still, if you take that out of it, mm-hmm. the trend would be the same, which is good. Blah, blah. So that's good. This is a good visual.
And you're probably still losing, we're back to losing the 80 kids every year between 8th grade and 9th to go somewhere else. Like, that was the number before
that's pretty
we built
static.
The high school.
It is.
Yeah,
the 80?
Yeah, it doesn't fluctuate much.
So, just a thought.
The trend.
Thanks, Mike, for saying that. So, the 80 kids that leave middle school, like, do we know why they leave middle school?
Tri-County.
Yeah, they leave for
either
they want, like a voc tech education, private school.
Tri-County, Bishop Feehan, Norfolk Aggie.
No, I'm sorry, in the 6th through 8th grade. That's what, because I'm wondering, like, because, well, just thinking of, like, our town versus other towns, right? In the middle level, we don't have tracks, we don't have sports, we don't have all the things that other middle schools have because we're spread out and we can't do it three times, right?
Right.
So my wonder is, we get to a space where we're consolidated, we can bring back or bring some of these programs that are in other elementary schools, like a track team. Mm-hmm. Do now kids stay because, oh, I love track and I want to stay in my town? You know, like
I
does
think
that
become
like
connected to the co-curricular extracurricular experience is often as much of a connector and a draw as any other part of the program. Mm-hmm. So we value education and educating kids, but part of the school experience is to have co-curricular extracurricular. I think if we all think about our experience, whether you were into chess club or athletics or theater or music, everyone found those are what enrich and enhance an environment, right? So
yeah, I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's a good question.
With my niece, she's in Milford, they do track and we don't do that here, and mm-hmm. we can't. And if spreading out kids that do like track across three schools, you probably don't have enough to field one team mm-hmm. across three. But you put them together, you have now enough kids together to do a team. You know, so like mm-hmm. I think like those things retain people, and I don't know if that busts our declining middle level students.
6th, 7th, and 8th in a really large amount of public schools. Do have track, volleyball, basketball, mm-hmm. boys and girls, basketball. That's pretty common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at these numbers, and we're averaging approximately 40 students that. Yeah, it's not. Our hard numbers in
pretty small percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we will. We will book those. This way you'll be able to engage. If we have to prepare materials, I can do that.
Okay.
And even if it's a handout too, we can do that. But if that's easier, I'll look and see what's most prepared materials. You will take, just someone will take some notes maybe on how it goes. And, are there any other?
Is that a way too? It kind of just provides. You know, there's going to be plenty of questions that we can kind of go and directly answer right then and there, which I think, you know, will help. Mm-hmm. But then if there's other ones that we can't, that we just kind of keep adding to that FAQ, mm-hmm. so that way, just that we can, you know.
And maybe by then we also have information posted that's updated, and we'll have more information for people to engage in, so.
And then just with Saturdays, we'll post for, like, a workshop. It was just a location issues, so we're just going to be in the auditorium.
FHS?
Yeah.
That changes the format, so maybe a handout works for mm-hmm. people to have better than. Mm-hmm. Because in the library, I was thinking of putting them up on easels.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to try to, I was talking with Lou, and just do chairs in a circle on the stage. Yeah. Just really trying to keep it just as, it, you know, it's not a present, situation, but just.
Okay.
what do people feel on here and thinking, mm-hmm. go from there. All right. Are we good?
I think so. The only... Yeah, I don't have anything else to do.
Okay. All right. Any questions, comments from the members? All right. Time being 5:29, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Questions, debate? Nope. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.